Today, I want to look at the book of Romans and use it as an introduction to a subject that is relevant to the times in which we live. We'll look in Romans, the first chapter, and begin in the 18th verse. And I'm just going to read it because this is a scripture and a sermon that back in time and forward into the present and actually into the future. To me, looking at this and realizing that this was written by the Apostle Paul around 2,000 years ago, to me, it is an absolute proof that the Bible is inspired by God, because only God could tell what decrepit man was going to be doing a couple of thousand years in the future, to look at his mindset and what man has done. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness. There couldn't be a statement that is more applicable to the generation in which we live, of people calling evil good and good evil and unrighteously suppressing what's right. Because what may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has shown it to them. For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so they are without excuse. Mankind is without excuse because they have willingly chosen to be ignorant. If you listen to the news, and we've been where we didn't have access to cable or satellite news for the last week or so, and so I haven't watched a lot of news. And last night I did watch the news, and I was depressed when I went to bed because it's not good what we see going on. Everything we hear is bad. And this is talking about mankind anciently, and it's talking about mankind today, because mankind could know God if they would just honestly look at the creation. But what does man do? They look at the creation and bow down and worship the creation. We see that today. Let's continue in verse 21, because although they knew God, they did not glorify him as God, nor were thankful, but became vile in their own thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Professing to be wise, they became fools. You know, the ultimate statement when God calls you a fool, and that's what's taking place here. You know, people look at some of the scriptures in the New Testament about not calling somebody a fool, or actually what the New Testament means is don't say that somebody's worthless. But here, God is just saying that they're foolish. The book of Proverbs deals with the foolish and identifies the foolish based on their actions. By their fruit you will know them. And so, because here's what they did. It's what mankind did in the past, and they're doing it now. And they changed the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like corruptible man, and birds, and four-footed animals, and creeping things. Therefore God also gave them up to uncleanliness, to lust in their hearts, and dishonor their bodies, and exchanged the truth of God for a lie, and worship and serve the creature rather than the Creator. Nature worship. Worship of the creation. Now, if we look back and look at the evolutionary concepts that we hear propagated today, then we can see that the theory there is that ancient man evolved out of the goo and crawled up on shore and started living in caves, and they began to develop intelligence, which is a joke in itself to think that some in innate matter or chemical compound could oven by itself could do any of those things. It's laughable. It's absolutely laughable. It breaks the laws of nature itself when you really look at it straight on. But irregardless of that, man looked up and he saw the stars and he saw the animals and the creation, and so ancient man started to worship the heavens and the animals. And as he came into a early caveman renaissance, he began to make graven images, study the movements of the heavens, and started to develop a system of worshiping the creation. Now today, in this day and age, man is no different, because man has run the gauntlet. God came down and has dealt with man many times, and man can't seem to get the point. He specifically dealt with his chosen nation of Israel. They were never able to get the point. That Creator God divested himself of that divine nature or that divine life that he possessed and came to the earth as a physical human being. We refer to him as Jesus Christ of Nazareth. And he lived among men, and men rejected him, rejected everything he said, killed him. You know, that's the ultimate foolishness for man, to kill his Creator. But that's what mankind did, and would still do it again. In this day and age, people have begun to look at nature again. This started in the 60s. You know, I know the church embraced some of the things that happened in the early 60s about the environment and the environmental movement. And don't misunderstand me. We need to take care of the creation that God gave us. We need to take care of the earth. That was Adam and Eve's job. They were supposed to tend the garden and take care of it and keep it in good shape. And we're supposed to do that. I'm not propagating that we should pollute or do any of those things, but we should not worship nature. We should not worship nature. Man has precedence over nature and over animals because it's a God-given right. God told man to tend the garden, to take care of it, to prune it back when it needed pruning, and to take care of it. We look in verse 26, and for this reason God gave them up to vile passions, and for even their women exchanged the natural use for what is against nature. And it goes on and deals with the subject that modern times people don't like to deal with, and they would call you all sorts of derogatory names, again trying to tell you that evil is good when you start talking about this subject. But I'll tell you something about this subject. When people pervert natural reproduction, and that's what we're talking about here, perversion, I'm wording it in a tactful way, do you realize that the whole theory and the concept of evolution is contrary to the theory of evolution when people do this unnatural sexual things? Because evolution, the theory of evolution, which is a theory and totally unproved, propagates the survival of the fittest. This approach that these people have, and I'm trying to be tactful, is contrary to that, because it doesn't reproduce them. They have to reproduce in some other way by propagating their perversion. And we see that happening in society today. That's what it's all about. And they've succeeded at it in that point. Now, let's go to verse 28. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a debased or reprobate mind. The New King James says debased. I think the King James says reprobate. They mean basically the same thing, to do those things which are not fitting. And anybody that rejects God, anybody that rejects the concept of God, even if they have a false God or an idol, at least they think that something is superior to them. When a human being begins to think that he is the ultimate intelligence or the ultimate being, the natural consequence of that is to become reprobate, that you lose something. Now, that is a subject unto itself, because I was merely using Romans as an introduction to say that mankind in the past, and mankind for the last couple of thousand years since the birth, life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, has lived a perverted existence in their relationship with God that they could have had because they rejected God. Now, and so they've established false gods, gods based on the motions of the heaven, gods based on the motions of the moon. You know, there was one of the tribes of Israel, I think it was Issachar, that they, and there's another story involved there. I'm not going to talk about, I'm not going to explain it today. Some of you might like to look at it sometimes, because, but they were between two things, the sun and the moon, the sun and the moon. And you can sort of tentatively maybe help identify them by looking at that there's two great religions in this world today that are based on, one, the lunar things, and the other, the solar things. You know, today is the seventh day of the week, and we're here on this Sabbath day by God's command. Tomorrow is Sunday. It's the day of the sun god. Again, back to what ancient man did and began to worship the sun. There's another religion that's real prominent today that's that their whole thing is based on lunar cycles. And I'll let you check that out. But what I want to deal with today is the gods of this world, the false gods, the gods with a little g. And I want to look at what the great creator God, the true God, the unknown God that the Apostle Paul talked to the Greeks about on Mars Hill and told them that they ignorantly worshipped, had a monument to this God that they called the unknown God, and that he was the real God. And the real God is unknown pretty well on the face of this earth today, except by a few, a very few. You know, Jesus Christ said, and people just can't grasp this. They can't grasp it. Wide and straight is the path that leads to destruction. Crooked and narrow is the path that leads to life, and few be those that find it. And yet, human beings want to go with the crowd. They want to go with the crowd, and they will go with the crowd every time. Now, I want to use an example, and I'm not going to turn back there. I'm just going to talk about it. Back in Exodus, when Moses went up on the mountain for 40 days and God gave him the Ten Commandments and gave him all sorts of instructions that you can find back in the book of Exodus from around the 20th chapter on, where all sorts of things that the building of the tabernacles and a lot of the laws that even a lot of those principles are still used today in English common law. They're used less than they used to be, but God gave all those things to Moses. While Moses was up on the mountain talking to God, the children of Israel rebelled. This is after they'd heard God's own voice. This is after they had seen the Exodus, seen the Red Sea open up, seen all the miracles that God had performed in Egypt. Of course, mankind today, I watched a program a little bit the other night on that. Mankind today wants to say none of that ever happened. Said the Jews, the nation of Israel, really wasn't even Israelites. They were just Canaanites that decided they wanted to change their name, and that the Exodus and all this stuff didn't really happen. Okay, fellas, you want to say that? You say it. You say it up to the point in time where God deals with it. Now, you're not going to have to answer to me, but you're going to have to answer to God. Because what God did when the children of Israel rebelled, Moses came down off of that mountain. Moses threw the Ten Commandments down on the ground because they're pretty worthless. People weren't going to listen to them. The two tablets of stone. Later, he made some replacements, but the first ones were made by God. And that in itself is a little analogy that mankind at that point in time rejected the commandments from God. And they had Aaron, the chosen high priest, and God had a lot of mercy on Aaron and his descendants to go ahead and use them after Aaron did this. He made them a golden calf, just like we saw back in Romans. Likeness of beast of the field. And they bowed down and worshiped and said, this is the God that brought us out of Egypt. And we can look at that and we can say, boy, they were not only foolish, they were stupid. Men in this generation and mankind today in this generation is just as stupid. Now, what do you think God made them do with that? Well, God is pretty harsh. You know, everybody looks at Jesus Christ and they read the New Testament and see his character and his kindness and how gentle he was and how what a really nice person he was as a physical human being. And he was all those things. And God is all those things. God is love. He's mercy. He's forgiveness. But he's also a flaming fire. And his wrath, when his wrath burns, you better get out of the way. You don't want to be there. Because God was ready to destroy all of those people, kill them on the spot. Moses had to talk him out of it. That's how close a relationship Moses had with God. Moses had to talk him out of it. And from that point on, God had Moses take the tabernacle without the camp, and God stayed out there. He said, I'm not going to come in amongst these people. If I did, it would make me so mad, I'd kill them. That was implied. God had Moses grind that golden calf and all that stuff and pound it into dust and put it in the water and made them drink the water. That's what God does to idolatry. If you look back in book of Judges and 2 Kings and Chronicles and you look at what happened in Israel, and people have never been able to keep themselves straight with God for more than one generation. Joshua's generation seems, from what the Bible says, to be loyal to God, but it's the only one that's ever been. New Testament church wasn't even loyal for 40 years. We can see that in the New Testament. Book of Jude, 1st, 2nd, 3rd, John, Peter. We can see where the New Testament church was going. They wasn't loyal to Jesus Christ as a whole for 40 years, just like they wasn't loyal. The people of the Exodus wasn't loyal to Jesus Christ for 40 days. And we can look back there and see what God would do. He would raise up a new leader, and they would go out and they'd tear down all the idols of the false gods. They'd grind them into dust, kill all the prophets of the false gods, take them down to the Kidron Valley where Gehenna's going to be, and spread them out and throw them to the wind. Now, I want to look today, and this is what the meat of the subject I'm talking about, is how God's going to eventually deal with all these false gods, false religion. And I'm going to give you a little outline of it, and we're going to turn it over to the book of Revelation, the book that many great theologians say shouldn't be in the Bible. I remember one Protestant minister the one time told a friend of mine they nearly didn't put it in there. I knew real quick he wasn't speaking for God. Let's turn to Revelation, the 8th chapter, and look and see what's going to happen to the creation worshipers, the ones that worship false gods. And I'm going to go through this fairly rapidly. I'm not going to read every verse. I'm just going to give you an outline in the book of Revelation of what God's going to do about it. How he's going to grind it into dust and make humanity drink the water. They're going to eat their idols. The 8th chapter and verse 5. And an angel took the censer, filled it with fire from the altar, and threw it to the earth, where there were noises and thunderings and lightnings and an earthquake. And this is the beginning of where God begins to punish those who do evil, those who have rejected his way. Let's look at the 7th verse. And the first angel sounded, and hail and fire mingled with blood, and they were thrown to the earth, and a third of the trees were burned up, and all green grass was burned up. Okay, environmental lovers, I love the environment too. But you worship it, you're going to lose it. God will take it away from you. You will lose it. Verse 8. And the second angel sounded, and something like a great mountain burning with fire was thrown into the sea, and a third of the sea became blood, became lifeless. You oceanographers, you're going to lose what you worship. You're going to lose it. Verse 9. And a third of the living creatures in the sea died, and a third of the ships were destroyed. So this is going to be a catastrophic event. Verse 11. Because a third angel sounded, and a star fell from heaven burning as a torch. And the name of the star was Wormwood. And the waters became wormwood, or bitter. And many died from the water because it was made bitter. If we go back to Exodus, when God had Moses to grind up the idol, and it made the water bitter. This is the fresh water. It's taking care of the sea, the fresh water, and the grass. Verse 12. And the fourth angel sounded, and a third of the sea was struck, a third of the moon, a third of the stars, and a third of them were darkened. A third of the day did not shine, and likewise the night. Something really strange happened here, because like we talked about, that people theorize of how man developed these religions, and he got to measure the motions of the heavens, and he got to setting days and times, and you know, that's fine. That's what the universe, our solar system, the sun, the moon, the earth's rotation, all those things, they are a big clock. They're timekeepers. In fact, we would have no way of measuring time if it were not for the motions of the earth and the sun and the moon and the stars. We would have no time would go on, but there would be no measurement of it. Somebody would have to make some kind of artificial measurement. Just stop and think about that a minute. And so man has always worshipped nature, and they still do. If you don't believe me, just watch television. Watch the National Geographic Channel. Watch all the documentaries. And a lot of their productions are fantastic productions, but they're built on the wrong foundation. And so their house is going to fall. In Revelation 10, let's turn on over. A lot of other things happen here, but I'm dealing with the things that have to do with the false gods. Now, go back, and we've talked about Exodus, and this is a completely different subject for a different day that I don't have time to talk to cover. But if you look at the plagues on ancient Egypt that freed the Israelites, each one of those plagues struck at one of the Egyptian gods. God destroyed one of the Egyptians' gods in the people's minds. And so that's something that God does to false gods. If you remember the example back in the book of Samuel, where during Eli's time, the Ark of the Covenant was captured, and they put it in the temple of Dagon, I believe. God dealt with them in a very blunt way. He gave them all hemorrhoids. A little bit funny, but God knows how to deal with people. Dagon wound up falling in front of the ark. Idols fall before God. People who worship idols feel pain because they worshiped idols. It will happen sooner or later. Revelation 10 and verse 6. And I'm breaking in context. This is with the seals this is something that's going to happen just right before the two witnesses come on the scene. In fact, all the things that were written down here that John saw, God told John not to write down the details of what happened, but this is going to be one of the big ones, one of the real big ones. And he swore by him who lives forever and ever, who created heavens and the things that are in it, the earth and the things that are in it, and the sea and the things that are in it, that there should be delay no longer, or be time no longer. Now, that can be interpreted in a different way, and the translator of this Bible did interpret it in a way, but the disrupt the motions of the earth, the motions of the sun and moon, and the things we've read, and the things we're going to read next are going to do that, then mankind will lose his ability to keep time. All you people that love to keep the ancient traditional holiday of Saturnalia, and you call it Christmas today, hey, you lose your calendar, you lose your time, you don't know when to keep it. What are you going to do? Your idol's going to fall on its face. And that applies to all those pagan holidays that God says, I believe, calls them your feast. Your feast. Again, different subject for a different day. Let's turn over to Revelation, the 16th chapter. I'm having to go through this fast. But in the days that we live, you just might ought to sit down and read the book of Revelation and take it seriously, because you may have to live through it. And the second angel, I'm in the 16th chapter and verse 3. And the second angel poured out his bowl on the sea, and it became blood as of a dead man. The blood of a dead man, not something that's alive, but dead. And every living creature in the sea died. Okay, you environmentalist, the sea's beautiful. Just about a month ago, I was in Florida, out in the Gulf, on a boat. Saw the porpoises and was down there, and other sea creatures. And it's fantastic, beautiful. Shame to lose it, but you worship it, you're going to lose it. You make a god out of it, you're going to lose it. It won't be just the sea. Then the third angel poured out his bowl on the rivers and the springs of water, and they became as blood. Okay, your fresh water's gone. Now, I live on a river. It's really nice to look out and see the water flowing. And there are some unbelievable streams and on the face of this earth, every continent. Beautiful thing. Imagine, wonderful thing. Imagine losing all that. The worst bit, you're going to lose it. Verse 10. And the fifth angel poured out his bowl on the throne of the beast, and his kingdom became full of darkness, and they gnawed their tongues because of the pain. Result of idolatry. You know, online I've got a sermon recorded, The Consequences of Disobedience. I gave a sermon like that to the church, the previous organization I belonged to, and I've lived to see the consequences of disobedience in God's church. God deals with disobedience. A lot of people think God doesn't do anything in this day and age. They're just not watching. He does it. Consequences come on people that disobey God. The 18th verse. And there were noises and thunderings and lightning, and there was a great earthquake, such as a mighty earthquake, as had not occurred since men were on the earth. Can you imagine that? Now, again, if we watch a lot of these documentaries and nature programs and everything, one's particularly about volcanic action and the earthquakes and the plates that are moving on the earth, and they talk about in ancient times the great upheavals and earthquakes and all the things that have happened. That's true. All that's happened. The geological evidence is there. It's there for you to see. You can see it yourself. You don't have to be a rocket scientist to figure some of that out. The thing about it, this earthquake is going to be the worst one that's ever happened since there was a man on the face of the earth. Can you imagine that? You know, those of us in this area live in an area that not the safest place on the world to live, with the New Madrid Fault, that not all that far away. It was a catastrophic event that happened a little more than a century ago. It's just hard to imagine how that's going to be, because all of us have seen the results of earthquakes in Haiti, and I remember back the earthquake in Alaska and the California earthquake and what happened in Mount St. Helens and other earthquakes and things that have happened around the world, some really bad ones in Turkey and just everywhere on the earth. And to think of one very catastrophic event that's going to change the face of the creation, the face of the earth, because God's going to reshape the earth during this process. Again, that's another subject. 18th chapter and verses 20, it said, every island fled away and the mountains were not found. Can you imagine this? Can you imagine the mountains going away? What event this will be? And great hail from heaven fell upon men, each hailstone about the weight of a talent. All men could do was do what they've always done, curse God. That's what they did. Let's look in Revelation 22 now. Because something's going to happen. Pause a moment and stop and think. And I've just covered a few highlights. The Bible as a whole has a lot more to say about it than I've covered. I just covered a few highlights from the book of Revelation, something I could try to cover in a few minutes to prompt our memories, because everybody here is a Bible student and knows these things. But God's going to, people worship the creation, God's going to destroy the creation. He's going to destroy it and start over. And this time, the way he's going to do it, he's going to let everybody know where the creation came from. Everybody on the face of this earth will have to acknowledge where the creation came from, because the way he's going to restore it, and you know, these evolutionists of where things gradually happened, and yet science know that the universe and all matter had to come into existence instantly. They have to admit that. They call it the Big Bang, and they call it other things, but that's a fact. God created things instantly. He's that powerful. He is God, after all, the real one, the one that is unknown to mankind today, the real God. And he's going to return to this earth as Jesus Christ. We understand that name. You'll have a new one then that somebody hadn't used for a curse word or used for a counterfeit. And he's going to set up his business, the kingdom of God. Revelation 22 and verse 1. He showed me a pure river water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding from the throne of God and from the Lamb. This, when Christ returns and sets up his kingdom in Jerusalem, then that water is going to start flowing out of the temple. We can go back and look at a prophecy in the book of Isaiah back in the 48th chapter and about verse 6. I'm not going to turn back there, but it's healing water. And as that water comes out, it's going to go into the Dead Sea, into the Mediterranean. It's going to travel around the world. And everywhere that that water touches, the life's going to come back, just like that. It's going to come back. And God's going to, everybody that sees it is going to know who the Creator is, who is the one who designed and made the creation in the first place. And they're going to lose their idols. They're going to lose their false gods. You know, God is patient. In fact, New Testament, the Bible talks a lot about the patience of the saints, the fact that they have waited. In fact, I want to turn back to one scripture in the 18th chapter of the book of Revelation for just in closing here, because they've waited. They've been patient. God is patient. But He won't wait forever. In Revelation 18 and verse 20, it says, and this is when the Babylonic system is destroyed, the false religious system, what the 18th chapter really deals with. Rejoice over her, O heavens, and you holy apostles and the prophets, for God has avenged you on her. All the evil that's been done to God's servants down through the ages is going to be avenged, because God is going to deal out something that this world knows very little about. Humanity's going to get, finally, justice. This has been James Throgmorton speaking to you for the Churches of God.